Welcome to the service of the word from North Nibley Church. We meet in the name of God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Lord, speak to us that we may hear your word. Move among us that we may behold your glory. Receive our prayers that we may learn to trust you. Amen. Keep a moment's quiet to bring our particular prayers to God and join them together in the collect. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those things of which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The reading today is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. So now we come to our address. Our gospel reading marks a crucial point in Jesus' ministry, but it's only half the incident. Jesus goes on to say that he must suffer and be killed. Peter begins to protest against this, and Jesus replies, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are thinking like a human, not like God. So we need to preach this address not only on today's reading, but also on next week. So apologies to whoever's doing that. Jesus's true identity is being revealed here. The people saw Jesus as a prophet and perhaps as the immediate forerunner of the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, God's decisive Saviour, the bringer of God's great liberation and rescue to God's people. In a way, they weren't entirely wrong. Jesus was a prophet. He spoke God's message to the people, announcing God's judgment and God's salvation, as the earlier prophets of the Old Testament had done. Jesus had raised the dead, so had Elijah and Elisha. John the Baptist had come as the forerunner, the preparer for Christ and his salvation. And in a way, too, Jesus was his own forerunner, preparing by his preaching and miracles for the salvation he brought us all by his death and resurrection. So he was performing the role of John and the Elijah, for the prophet Malachi had said that Elijah would come again as the forerunner. Prophet, preparer, Jesus was these things, but he was more. To limit him to these identities was to miss much of the point. Peter's confession of faith is not entirely new. The disciples had greeted Jesus as Son of God when he came to them walking on the water. But in combining the Son of God and Messiah, Peter was expressing Jesus' identity and his role. God and Saviour. Matthew says Jesus responded by declaring Peter was right and that his confession, his creed, was to be the foundation of the church, the community of Jesus' followers. Jesus is making a play on words. Peter is Greek for rock. The Aramaic for rock is kepha or kepha. And Paul sometimes uses that for Peter's name. But is it Peter or his confession which is the foundation here? Roman Catholics stress the man and, as Peter became Bishop of Rome, argue that this is the authorization of papal authority. Protestants see Peter as indeed important, but tend to stress the confession, Messiah and Son of God, as the rock on which the church is built, and do not hold that Peter's authority automatically passes to his successors as bishops of Rome. But we can all take comfort from the promise that the church will not finally be defeated by evil or death. In the sentence, "The gates of hell will not prevail against it," the word translated hell is the word for the place of the dead. The church will not finally perish. We will not finally perish. The saying about what is bound or loosed on earth and in heaven refers to forgiving of sins and is promised to all the apostles in John 20 and to the church as a whole in Matthew 18:18. Jesus' commands elsewhere show that we're to offer forgiveness to all. So to bind can only be for those who bind themselves by refusing to repent or accept forgiveness and reconciliation. The task of the church is to bring God's forgiveness. While we warn against condemnation, we are not ourselves to judge. And Peter in our reading is not so different from the people who were half right about Jesus. He gets Jesus's rank right, Son of God and so divine, and Messiah, the one by whom God's final salvation comes. But he gets the method of that salvation wrong. People at that time thought of the Christ as a conquering king, a military liberator, like David, who had been the Lord's anointed. But Jesus declares that he will save us by his death and resurrection, by suffering to bear our faults and forgive us, and dying to defeat death. I wonder if the people who said he was Jeremiah, the suffering prophet, had some tiny inkling of this. Peter and the other disciples only came to faith in Jesus' death after his resurrection. As we've said, Peter protested at the idea of Jesus dying at this point. He didn't realise, he knew who Jesus was, but he didn't realise how Jesus would save. For us then, we are called to trust in God's forgiving love through Jesus. In him, God comes to share our life and death fully. He does not just share the life of the great and powerful of this world, but the common humanity which we all share, which includes suffering and death, to be our comfort, strength and peace, so that we can trust God and love one another in good times and bad, and to bring us through death itself to share God's eternal life as God's children through him, through Jesus. So may we trust in the death and rising of Jesus and live by his love as brothers and sisters, children of God through him. Amen. Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's pray for ourselves as we ask God for forgiveness. Loving God, we thank you that you came to us in Jesus to bring us forgiveness by his death for us. He bore with and forgave his imperfect apostles to help show this. We are sorry for our sins and imperfections, for any pride, for any vengefulness and hatred of others, for lack of trust, for things done wrong and good things not done. Forgive us, we pray. Keep us in union with Jesus as your daughters and sons. Fill us with your Spirit, his Spirit, and bring us to everlasting life with you through him, for his sake. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. So we make the declaration of God's forgiveness. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we make our prayers. We give thanks for the summer and the beauties of creation, especially those we see around us in this area. May we care for them. We pray for the farmers who've had a poor harvest. We pray for all those struggling against wildfires at this time. We pray for suitable weather. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we ask that we may be faithful to our calling as Christians, trusting in Jesus as your Son, our Saviour, by his death and rising for us. And we pray that those who do not now believe may turn to Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for Nibley Church and Nibley Village. We pray for the church in this time of vacancy. We pray for Leslie in her retirement, giving thanks for all that she's done. We pray for all those bearing extra responsibility at this time. And we pray for a wise choice of the next minister here. We pray for Nibley Chapel too, and their exhibition on William Tyndale at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the world. We pray for Indonesia, Colombia, and Venezuela after the earthquakes there. We commit to you those who have died. We pray for the bereaved, the injured, for rescuers, and for the rebuilding of the countries. We pray that the powerful of this world and all people may realise that violence and war cannot bring us to the fullness of life and true humanity, and that we may seek peace. We pray for peace in the most troubled areas of the world today, for peace in the Middle East, that Israelis and Palestinians may somehow learn to forgive each other and live together in peace, for the Lebanon, all the people suffering there, and for Iran and the USA. We pray for a just peace in the Ukraine. We pray for peace in Sudan, South Sudan, and the Congo, and for the overcoming of the Ebola outbreak in the Congo, which has continued to increase. We pray for areas of persecution and violence for Nigeria and the surrounding countries, for Myanmar, for northern Mozambique, for protection for Christians there, for an end to persecution. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember any that we know who are ill at this time, or suffering in particular, for God's healing, for God's comfort, for God's support. Pray for those who are infirm, for peace and upholding. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember those who have died recently and those whose anniversary of death falls at this time. We commit them into your hands, O God, through Jesus Christ. May, as he shared our death, may they and we share in his resurrection and live forever as your children. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we come to the conclusion of our service, wishing you a good week, weekend, and next week. Blessings on all those on holiday. And we pray too, perhaps, for those who've just had the exams, for any who are feeling disappointed, for comfort for them. And those preparing for a new school year or a new school, a new college, a new job, be with them, we pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us always. Amen.